This program is brought to you by the Genesis Communications Network, a world leader in talk radio since 1998. Visit GCNlive.com today.
Getting America back on track. Bill Martinez live.
A devastating moment. The video you're seeing here being Alexandria, a very strongly Christian town, obviously on the Mediterranean coast. Now, this is where 16 people lost their lives and 41 were injured. You can see in that video people milling around on the outskirts, and then it appears the bomber who tries to get in detonates his device. A different camera angle does appear to show the individual trying to get in through the security gates at the front of the church, failing and then detonating his device very close by. I remember high security at venues like this because the 10% of the Egyptian population that are Christian have been under persistent attack for quite some time now. ISIS claiming responsibility for this attack and others in the past as well. And of course, too, this was the lesser of the two blasts we're talking about. The other one at the St. George Church in Tanta, to the north of the capital of Egypt, Cairo. That is where 27 people lost their lives. The device apparently inside the church, and a full 78 people being injured. The point is, of course, today is Palm Sunday, when these churches were packed, celebrating the day in which Jesus rode into Jerusalem on the back of a donkey, a seminal moment in the Christian calendar, and obviously a time in which ISIS have made absolutely no bones about indiscriminately killing as many Christians as they possibly can, Fred.
And so, Nick, are we seeing attacks like this in Egypt because ISIS is losing ground in places like Iraq, where we've been seeing security forces carrying out operations in Mosul to drive them out?
I don't think one necessarily depends upon the other. ISIS have had a presence in Sinai in the eastern Egyptian desert for some time. They've targeted Christians in Egypt for quite some time as well. But I think the broad problem perhaps has been for those fighting ISIS that when, quote, the brand or the warped ideology of ISIS begins to lose territory in Iraq and Syria, they may shift focus. If you consider them to have a broad central nervous system coordinating their acts of terror, they may shift focus to areas where they can operate more easily, or maybe those who can continue, quote, the ideological fight might choose to do so in areas where there's less preparation or full-on military resistance like they're experiencing in Iraq or Syria. So yes, they're losing ground in Libya, Iraq and Syria, but certainly in Afghanistan, and it seems after this attack possibly in Egypt, where they are facing a very persistent Egyptian military and security service response, perhaps here as well make their extra efforts.
My other question would be, is this in response, Scott, to the Egyptian President Sisi having what many said was a positive discussion with Donald Trump? Was this kind of their counter to that, saying, hey, look, at we're still players here on this stage. Don't ignore us. And, of course, here it is. They target Coptic Christians in Egypt, and, to something that we've been holding to on this show for a while, not only the Coptic Christians, but we there in Egypt, but also in Assyria as well, the ancient land of Mesopotamia, where Assyrian Christians have been attacked. Coptic Christians there have been attacked and devastated that area. And our prayer of Psalm 91 continues and can be expanded to include the Coptic Christians and the families that were affected there in Egypt. The Coptic Pope, I am told, was in one of the buildings here, and but aren't unharmed by the attack. An Egyptian correspondent for the Times of London told NPR that the Pope was leading prayers when the suspected bomber attempted to enter the church. Security forces managed to keep the attacker outside, but at least three other officers were killed. Of course, ISIS taking responsibility for both these attacks that targeted Coptic Christians in Egypt. Our conversation continues. Thank you for joining us. Liz Peek is going to join us on the other side of the break here, a short one, about 60 seconds away. Stay with us, America. I'm Bill Martinez. It's just about 5 minutes after the top of the hour.
It's been said, any society is only 3 missed meals away from chaos. Those times may be near. Think about it. Our country faces multiple terrorist threats and aggressions from Russia and North Korea. Social unrest and violent marches yet again may lead to looting of stores and city shutdowns. And a crumbling infrastructure leaves our power grid vulnerable to long-term outages from a single cyber attack. When the chaos from any one of these threats arises, the government knows it can't provide during a widespread national emergency. That's why you need your own plan for self-reliance. That's where My Patriot Supply comes in. Get a 4-week survival food supply for only $99. That includes breakfast, lunches, and dinners. Order online at preparewithgcn.com. $99 for 4 weeks of survival food that tastes like homemade cooking and lasts up to 25 years from My Patriot Supply. Get your kits today at preparewithgcn.com. Free shipping is included. Preparewithgcn.com.
Are you ready?
Yeah.
Okay, let's do it. Bill Martinez Live, a program about current events, our culture, our values, our politics, and our future. And now, Bill Martinez.
You better stop, hey, what's that sound? Everybody look what's going on. Stop, hey, what's that sound?
Well, hello, America. Bill Martinez here with you, 6 minutes after the top of the hour. For more information on the show, you want to go to BillMartinezLive.com. It is all right there for you. You want to drop me an email? We'd love to hear from you. Good, bad, indifferent, get involved in the conversation, okay? Forget the stuff that people want to invalidate your perspective. It is critical to the process of we're going to get this country back on track. Bill at BillMartinezLive.com or hashtag BML Talk, okay? Let us know your thoughts. I don't know if you saw this story. This is incredible. You got a guy who is he's at a gaming table, all right? Well, it was a slot machine, all right? And he has a friend with him and says, hey, what do you think? Why don't you come over here and pull the lever? I mean, I've been on this for a little bit, and maybe you might move the momentum here a little bit. Well, she does. She comes over, and the gentleman he's like 65, and this young friend, I think, he was 66, I guess, and he's feeding cash into a $50 a spin double top dollar machine at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino in Fort Lauderdale. Okay. And so, as I mentioned, his friend who's with him, Marina Navarro, is there. And he says, hey, why don't you push the button for luck? Why not? So maybe she's the charm. Well, guess what happens? Whammo! It goes off. And we're talking thousands of dollars is won. Okay. And so he's thinking, wow, okay, I'm the big winner. You know, I'm sure he's probably going to give her a couple dollars for it, but it's his money. He's on the machine. He thinks he's got it. Well, I don't know if you knew. I didn't know this, but the rules are: is whoever pushes the slot or pulls the slot or gets the thing going, who hits the button, becomes the owner of it at this point in time. And go ahead. You have it. Okay. And I've got some background sound coming through here, Scott. I don't know. Just heads up on that. So I understand Liz Peek has joined us here right now. I just want to get – hey, Liz, I got to bring you on right now. We're telling this story that out in Fort Lauderdale at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino, this 66-year-old guy is putting in $50 spin, credits into this double top dollar machine at the Seminole Hard Rock Hotel and Casino. And he has a friend with him, and he says, hey, for good luck, let's have you push the button. And she pushes the button, and he's thinking, and they win. Hundreds of thousands, $100,000, I guess. And he's thinking, okay, well, I got this. I got this. This is good. He thinks he wins. Well, according to the rules of the casino, and I didn't know this, but whoever pushes the button owns that machine and owns the money.
Oh,
well,
dear.
So he's probably thinking, hey, you know, hey, we got this. You know, he's probably going to give her a couple bucks, you know. And she goes, it's mine.
Oh, gosh.
I get the money. So she takes the money, and she's gone. So much for a fair weather friend, huh?
Oh, that hurts. Doesn't it?
This is like, well, but, you know, and of course, look at the age difference. He's 66, and what was she, 35? You know, those kind of relationships can be expensive in more ways than one.
Aye, aye, aye.
Yeah, exactly. But, hey, surely we jest here. Liz Peek is with us. Columnist for FoxNews.com, the Fiscal Times. Spent over 20 years on Wall Street, most of them as a top-ranked research analyst after managing her firm's entrance into international research and the foray into the market for U.S. equities in Japan. She became Wertheim & Company's first female partner. Some interesting news on Wall Street right now, Liz. I want to get your read on it really quick here. Trump's top economic advisor, former Goldman Sachs executive, he told senators he's in favor of a rule that would radically transform Wall Street. Translate what Gary Cohen had to say.
I'm assuming we're talking about reinstating Glass-Steagall.
Yes, exactly. Uh-huh.
So Glass-Steagall, for those who aren't familiar with it, was the Depression-era law, which basically prohibited banks, normal lending banks in financial institutions, from going into investment banking. It was repealed in 1999 by Bill Clinton, and then you began the era of all the banks competing with everybody. In other words, Citigroup competes with Goldman Sachs, et cetera. And yes, this was a little bit of a shocker when Gary Cohn lofted this idea the other day, because generally speaking, we are looking at an administration that ran on dismantling regulation, not reimposing regulation. It's also worth noting, by the way, in this administration, just chock-a-block full of Goldman Sachs veterans, that this is something that would unquestionably upend everyone's business model on Wall Street, but it sure would hurt Goldman Sachs a lot less than the banks they compete with, whether it's Bank of America or Citigroup or whatever, because they are not a lending institution. Yes, they have some bank-like features, which they adopted and kind of ramped up in order to access Fed lending during the financial crisis. But I think this is a non-starter. I hope it's a non-starter, because I think it's kind of a stupid idea. And I'll tell you who the biggest cheerleader for it is Elizabeth Warren.
Well, to me, that's ironic, isn't it?
Yeah. I mean, you catch me at a funny moment, because I'm actually working on a piece right now that starts out, you know, what the heck is Gary Cohn doing in the Trump White House?
Mm-hmm.
And I think, you know, I think that Donald Trump needs to be careful here. There are a lot of Democrats, frankly, in the Trump White House. And it's not just Gary Cohn, it's Dina Powell, it's Jared Kushner and Ivanka Trump, and I get it that blood is thicker than anything. But the truth is, these folks were not who Trump voters voted for.
Exactly.
They voted for Steve Bannon.
And
Stephen Miller and other people who support Trump's campaign promises. And to the extent that these folks have come in and kind of softened a lot of his positions on immigration and tax policy and so forth, I think it's, you know, being applauded by the mainstream media, and therefore a lot of Americans probably think, well, that's good. Steve Bannon is not running the White House. But on the other hand, it's moving Trump away from his base, and I think that's very dangerous.
Exactly. Well, you just pulled back the curtain on something that has been disconcerting, particularly in this past week, and that is the power play that's going on, where we see Steve Bannon pushed to the side, Jared Kushner, Ivanka, more in the mainstream. You've got these Democrats that are coming into play, and then also you hear from Trump saying he wants to move a little bit more to the Democrats. Not that it would be to the level that Chuck Schumer has suggested, but he's definitely moving in that direction.
Well, and let's remember that we've elected now a Republican Senate, a Republican House of Representatives, and now a Republican in the White House. This is not the time to be adopting Democratic philosophy and policy. This is just stupid. So, you know, I think probably I keep hearing music on your end.
Yeah, because it's time for us to dance, and we've got to dance into a break here.
Okay.
Liz Peek here is with us, and we've got more from Liz on the other side of the break. Stay with us. It's 15 after the top of the hour.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
April is Parkinson's Disease Awareness Month and shines a light on this serious disorder affecting approximately 1 million people in the U.S. Parkinson's disease is a progressive chronic movement disorder that can lead to tremors, muscle stiffness, and slow movements. As the disease advances, some people may begin to have increasing off episodes or periods of slowness, stiffness, and overall poor mobility, despite taking their medication as prescribed. Dr. Fennett D. Phipps, Associate Professor of Neurology at Vanderbilt University, further explains.
As Parkinson's disease progresses, patients may have to take higher doses of their medications more often and still experience off time. This can make living with their disease both difficult and unpredictable. Because Parkinson's disease progression varies from patient to patient, it's important for people with advanced Parkinson's to speak with their doctor about how symptoms are changing over time and how best to manage these symptoms.
Talk to your doctor or visit pdadvocates.com for information about Parkinson's disease education, support, and resources.
We use cell phones against our heads every day. But now, a landmark U.S. government study confirms increased health risks from exposure to EMF radiation emitted from these devices. The time to protect yourself is now. The solution is Defender Shield. Proudly made in the USA, Defender Shield blocks virtually 100% of EMF radiation emitted from cell phones, tablets, and laptops. Buy now at DefenderShield.com. Use discount code DEFENDER for 10% off. DefenderShield.com, the worldwide leader in EMF radiation protection.
I'm Maria Brous, Director of Media and Community Relations with Publix Supermarkets. Did you know that premature birth is the number one killer of babies in the United States? Or that survivors can face a lifetime of serious health problems? But you can help. Join me and Publix for the March for Babies Walk. We'll work together to raise funds for research and programs that help the March of Dimes fight premature birth and birth defects and improve the health of moms and babies. Start your team today at marchforbabies.org.
Have you racked up more than $10,000 in credit card debt? Are you barely getting by, making minimum payments? You should know, the credit card companies are tricking you into thinking there's no way out. Credit card companies would rather you didn't know that there are ways you can become debt-free and you don't have to pay the entire amount you owe. There are debt relief programs that help people like you escape overwhelming credit card debt. National Debt Relief has helped tens of thousands of people just like you reduce more than $500 million of debt. National Debt Relief has helped so many people, they're A-plus rated by the Better Business Bureau. You don't have to declare bankruptcy or take out a consolidation loan. You have the right to settle your debt for a mere fraction of what you owe. Reduce a large portion of your debt now. Call National Debt Relief at 800-314-7417. 800-314-7417. That's 800-314-7417.
The answer to being in control of your own health care is freedom from insurance. Become part of a group of self-pay patients that come together to share in each other's medical expenses. Individual share amounts begin at $107 a month and $347 for families. Choose from three health sharing programs. Holistic treatments may be eligible for sharing. See guidelines. Discount programs available for dental, vision, and pharmacy. Go to libertyoncall.org. That's libertyoncall.org.
Keeping the spirit of Don't Tread on Me alive. Bill Martinez, live.
Hey, we're back with you, America. So is Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Liz, again, I appreciate your insight because you're really giving us some understanding as to what's going on and some of the inner machinations that we hear rumblings about, that there is this power play going on with Steve Bannon. You know, set aside Jared Kushner, obviously picking up a better, stronger position. We knew Ivanka, you know, when she took residence there in the White House, that was significant as well. The president has also given us an idea that he wants to get Democrats more engaged here. And there's been some Democrats that have supported him, and especially after what happened with this strategic Tommy Hawk bombing of the Syrian airfield.
Yes, but don't expect there to be any rapprochement between Democrats and President Trump, because basically he was elected to oppose nearly everything that they have championed for the last 8 years. He is the antithesis of Obama, who was a globalist and obviously very concerned about issues like climate change and furthering global interests, I would say, above U.S. interests. And I think Trump was elected to do all of this, the opposite. I mean, and so, you know, it worries me. Gary Cohn at least has been, it's been said that he talked about, you know, in the discussion about tax policy, he has emerged as trying to become the White House, originator or architect of tax policy. Mm-hmm. And he supposedly threw a carbon tax into the mix. Well, you know, let's think about that. I mean, Donald Trump's talking about resuscitating the coal industry and cuts back the EPA budget and has at least vowed to take down the so-called Clean Power Act. Well, how does that work with a carbon policy? I don't know. But, a carbon tax. Right. I think it's terrible policy. And frankly, we have yet to make a lot of progress, it appears, on repealing and replacing Obamacare, mainly because of opposition from the right. But, you know, frankly, I think it's also because the sort of middle ground people in the Trump administration have encouraged Donald Trump to stick with those parts of Obamacare that they view as so popular that it would really have been injurious to ditch them, like coverage for pre-existing conditions, which is probably the most difficult of those. Mm-hmm. So I think this power play that you describe is real. I think it's probably been overblown because people in the media would love to see Steve Bannon put out to pasture. So there's all kinds of sort of what I'm reading is that there's all kinds of dirty tricks going on where they're, you know, portraying this power struggle as much more intense than it really is. They're portraying Gary Cohn as more to the left than he really is, et cetera. But I got to tell you, Gary Cohn was known as a bully at Goldman Sachs. That's kind of, you know, he was sort of Lloyd Blankfein's enforcer. It doesn't strike me as at all improbable that he and Bannon are knocking heads. And, you know, whereas there's probably fertile middle ground there, I would hate to see Bannon basically dismissed altogether.
I think it would undermine his core constituency. I'm talking about President Trump, if that would happen. I think it'd be a serious problem. Speaking of Obamacare, repeal and replace, J.P. Morgan says the Trump care failure may actually be a good thing for tax reform. And you wrote about tax reform, saying that it is a must win for Trump and the Republican Party.
Tax reform is a must win.
Yes.
Yes, I think it absolutely is. And particularly if health care doesn't get done. Here's the problem. Both of these bills, the reason, you know, the audience, American voters tire of hearing how complicated everything is. But once you get inside this sort of Washington nest, it is true that all these things are complicated. And they're, in this instance, both tax reform and health care reform are held hostage to the rules of so-called reconciliation. Again, this is in the weeds. But what the Republicans need to do, because Democrats are absolutely resisting everything, is to pass bills as budget amendments, in effect, through so-called reconciliation, which allows them to make legislation with a simple majority. They only have 52 senators, as we know, which is a simple majority. So they need to pass some of this stuff in a way that that complicates the effort, and it complicates them in this way. Everything in the health care bill that Ryan created had to have budget impact. Now, you know, allowing insurers to compete across state lines, for example, really does not have immediate budget impact. You can argue, yes, in the broader picture it will, but because it doesn't have immediate impact, Ryan did not think it could be part of that bill. Now, others have now said, you know what, we can change that rule and let's make it broader.
You already got Democratic support for that.
They made
that real clear for selling across state lines. They said, we don't have a problem with that, right?
Maybe. But, Bill, don't underestimate the power of resistance. I mean, as you know, there is a group now called We Will Replace You threatening any Democrat congressman that works with Trump's administration with basically being challenged from the left in a primary. It's sort of the flip side of what the Tea Party did in the Obama years. So these guys are scared to death of voting for anything that comes out of the Trump administration. So they won't do it. And I think, or that comes out of the GOP in Congress. So anyway, the reason I'm going into healthcare again, which is probably redundant from your conversations, is that because healthcare didn't get done, tax reform is harder. In other words, there was about $1 trillion of taxes, included in Obamacare.
Right.
Taxes on high income.
No matter what he did, he tried to stay under $1 trillion. There was no way.
That's right.
Yes, right?
It was about a trillion dollar tax hike on people like you and me, good people with high incomes in America. And because those taxes persist, because they didn't get rid of them, now that becomes part of tax reform. And it makes the burden of matching lost revenues that much harder. So we do need tax reform. I spent a lot of time over the weekend talking to people involved in this, like really involved in it. And I got to tell you, I came away discouraged because I think it's pretty hard. I think there's huge divisions, again, between right and left on what they want to see. And I'm not sure, you know, again, Cohen, for example, is opposing the border adjustment tax. If I spent 10 minutes now with your poor audience, they'd go to sleep on border adjustment tax.
Right.
But trust me, it's the right thing to do.
Mm-hmm.
It's a hell of a lot better than the carbon tax, for example.
Exactly. Right.
So I'm worried about it.
And, of course, the street says they're very doubtful. They don't think that President Trump's going to be able to deliver any tax reform this year.
Well, I was told 50-50 by the fourth quarter, but, you know, perhaps also 50-50 in the next year.
Well, last topic here. Well, we've been touching a lot of stuff, and I appreciate your patience and ability to go this. Nunez, you wrote, go squishy, reinvigorating the left, deflating the GOP, but Freedom Watch steps in.
Well, look, I think Nunez did not have to step down. I think that was a bad signal that maybe he had done something wrong, and I really don't think he did anything wrong. I think the only thing in retrospect that it would have been a better idea for him was when he first was invited to the White House to look at those logs that tapped Susan Rice as the unmasker. He should have taken Adam Schiff.
Yes, exactly. Why not? But you live and learn. And the thing is, amazing, had the shoe been on the other foot, for example, there was no way a Democrat was going to recuse themselves. But here we've got two people in the Trump administration that have recused themselves, Sessions and now Nunez. And Trump's going, what is with this recusing stuff? Stop it, right?
Yeah. And Schiff should recuse himself now because he also has had charges brought against him before the Ethics Committee, which is what caused Nunez to step down.
Exactly. Liz Peek, columnist for FoxNews.com and the Fiscal Times. Liz, always good. Thank you. Appreciate it.
Individuals and businesses with tax problems. Listen carefully. Do you feel like you're losing control of your finances? If you owe over $10,000 in back taxes or have unfiled tax returns, we can help you take back control. The IRS is the largest and most aggressive collection agency in the world, and they can seize your bank accounts, garnish your paycheck, close your business, and file criminal charges. Take control of your tax problem now by calling the experts at U.S. Tax Shield and take advantage of the Fresh Start program and new laws that may allow us to negotiate a settlement for the lowest amount possible. possible. Our team of tax attorneys and enrolled agents can stop collections and get you protected so you can take control of your financial future. U.S. Tax Shield offers a price protection guarantee quote to get you protected today. U.S. Tax Shield is A-plus rated with the Better Business Bureau, so call now. 800-536-4436. That's 800-536-4436. U.S. Tax Shield. 800-536-4436.
When a storm causes power loss for a whole day, it can seem endless. There's a new kind of storm brewing, one that could target our nation's power grid and turn off the power for not just days, but for months or longer. Veteran news anchor Ted Koppel's new book, Lights Out, details this exact scenario. And CENTCOM General Lloyd Austin says it's not a question of if, but when. That's why Americans are rushing to secure solar-powered generators to provide an endless supply of life-saving electricity without gas, fumes, or noise. And the breakthrough Patriot Power Generator 1500 has it all. Portable and lightweight, providing up to 1500 continuous watts of clean, quiet, and free renewable solar power. If a blackout strikes, you'll have power for heat, lights, cell phones and computers, and critical medical devices, all from the rechargeable solar power. Our first introduction sold out fast, and with high demand, we can't guarantee keeping the supply in stock. Stay protected with the power you need. The Patriot Power Generator 1500. Right now, enjoy our special easy pay option. Just go to blackout27.com. That's blackout27.com. Blackout27.com.
Hey, diabetics. Yeah, you. Got a spare hour to waste going to the pharmacy to get your insulin or other meds and supplies every month? I didn't think so. Me either. I've got life going on, which is why I use PillPack. PillPack is an amazing online pharmacy. They package up all my diabetic meds and testing supplies into daily doses and send it to me every month, automatically. All I do is pay my normal copay. PillPack does the rest. I'm serious. This is a free service. They don't even charge for shipping. PillPack handles all the medical insurance stuff and even get with my doctors for my other prescriptions so I don't have to, which is good because that's the stuff I forget. But PillPack remembers everything. They even package up my daily vitamins so I remember to take them too. If you're diabetic, your meds and supplies are life and death, which means you need PillPack. Call right now for this free service. You may even qualify for $25 in free vitamins. 800-560-7310. That's 800-560-7310. Again, 800-560-7310.
Reminding us of what makes our country great. Bill Martinez, live.
Welcome back, America. 28 minutes before the top of the hour. We come to you fresh every day, 9 to noon Eastern, 6 to 9 Pacific, Monday through Friday, on this 280-plus network and around the world via shortwave. Larry Pratt is with us, political analyst, executive director of Gun Owners of America for over 30 years. GOA is a national membership organization of 500,000-plus Americans dedicated to promoting their Second Amendment freedom to keep and bear arms. Mr. Larry, how are we doing, buddy?
I am doing well, and it's good to be with you.
Hey, always good to have you with us. Hey, before we get into illegal immigration and some good figures that are being demonstrated here for us, I want to touch on very quickly, Gorsuch already was sworn in as the Supreme Court Justice. Just ahead of these key cases, he's got one swearing in that was done, was a private one with Chief Justice John Roberts in the Supreme Court's Justice Conference Room, accompanied by his wife, Louise, who held the Bible, and his two daughters. The oath will be followed by a public ceremony at the White House where Justice Anthony Kennedy.
You mean a Bible was held and it wasn't a Koran?
Yeah, it was a real Bible. Yeah, imagine
good.
That, huh? Yeah,
yeah.
Good thing. So we'll see what happens. I'm sure somebody will, now that you brought it up, say something. But, you know, this contentious environment we live in. Yes, it was the Bible. So the next one is Justice Anthony Kennedy, his former boss, will administer the judicial oath that everyone will see that will be a public showing there. So he's got his, you know, the court has their hands full. They're even talking about maybe bringing back some of these 4-4 decisions now that they've got the full complement of 9 judges. So what say you about the Gorsuch confirmation?
Well, I hope they can bring back some of those cases that were decided that way. I wasn't familiar with the procedure that they could use for that, but that would be a very welcome development if indeed they could do that.
Yes, exactly.
So go for it, guys. You mentioned illegal immigration, and I was just looking at something at WorldNet Daily before we went on, and there is a significant amount of crime, significantly higher than the non-sanctuary cities that you find in the sanctuary cities.
Wow.
They are bringing danger to themselves because they don't give a rip about vetting, not only for a passport, but for criminal background. And so,
how does this make any sense whatsoever? I mean, you got the state of California really goofy off the rails there. No wonder they want to break up into six different states because these guys up in, I mean, and then the gas, they just did a gas tax on top of this. I mean, who are they going to cremate with this additional gas? What are they going, 20 cents now a gallon on top of this, all these special blends they do? I mean, it's absolutely idiotic. My son just moved here to the east to Florida with us. And he goes, Dad, he's like, he says, this is like I'm in another country. I go, yeah.
And in many ways it is, not jurisdictionally yet, but it certainly is in terms of a state of mind. And it's really what happens to any place where the Chicagos and the New York Cities, et cetera, of the country can really take over. It's bad enough to have a whole city become Chicago, which has the most violent crime record in the country per capita, but now they've got a whole state, and they're going to find that once what was the beacon of economic energy in our country, Horace Greeley, the publisher, go west, young man, where opportunity is, and people are going east because that's the only way to get away from them.
Exactly. Yeah, with the memo, the last one to leave leaves the state, turn off the lights, right?
Well, and since the bill hasn't been paid for a while, it probably the lights will
maybe
go
just
out
go out on its own. Well, Larry, I mean, you know, to your point here, when you look at the empirical evidence, how do they argue this stuff? I mean, you got to really force yourself. And I mean, I heard a state representative. I can't remember exactly which state it was, but they were arguing for sanctuary cities. And I mean, he had to purposely resist what you and I would say is common sense.
The article in WorldNet Daily graphed the crime between the two kinds of jurisdictions, and it took it from an article which was headlined that sanctuary cities no significant increase in crime. But then when you read into the article way down at the bottom, there was this data that they published in WorldNet Daily, and it showed that there's a big difference, and it's not a good difference. Mm-hmm. There is a lot more crime in these sanctuary cities. But they actually will write a headline saying, nobody here but us chickens.
Yeah.
You know, these people are absolutely, they're willing to die for a lie.
Well, and the problem is if they were willing to die for a lie, that would be one thing, Larry, but the people are dying are its innocent citizens that are subject to this kind of insane reasoning that would tell you that in the face of peril, you got to find a way to hunker down or be a little bit smarter about your boundaries and your borders and protecting yourself. And these sanctuary cities, of course, California, we're picking on California, but it's only because it's so easy. It stands out there as the poster child of it. We don't want you to have guns. You're going to be controlled. So there's no way to protect yourself. So how are you going to protect yourself against the bad guys that they didn't get the memo that guns aren't allowed?
Well, the people that propagate this nonsense typically live in gated communities. Typically, they're making well above average, and they can live in a lifestyle and work and live in communities where crime is really not particularly a problem unless some husband's beaten up on his wife. But for the rest of the schlubs in the state, say of California, it's not so pretty. And if they can't economically avoid what's happening in their state, they're the ones that are going to suffer. And that's what those two lines on the graph in WorldNet Daily's article was showing. Even the very data in an article that was headlined, no problem. Oh, yeah, there's actually a big problem. And
exactly.
It's in the data, and it was way down at the bottom. They are absolutely willing. They'll even publish the actual data and then say, isn't this wonderful? There's no problem at all.
I know, you sit there and you go, what did I just read? I mean, well, this gives them plausible cover here, Larry, so this way they can say they're really not fake news. You know, that's the deal. Because they just
fake headlines.
Yeah, however you want to do it. Speaking of headlines, illegal immigration down 67% under Trump?
That's probably something that the Border Patrol agents themselves can certify. And it's probably a lot of it because of their reporting whatever is happening on their shifts. But they would know, and they would know that they're not having to make the same number of arrests because there just aren't that many making this kind of illegal activity that would require getting arrested. And it was, as we saw in the run-up to the election, there was a run, literally almost, on the border with all kinds of, quote, children and many others to try to get in under the wire, because the anticipation was that if that New York City entertainment mogul were to get elected, it was not going to be as easy to get in to the land of unicorns and pixie dust.
Right.
And by golly, once he's elected, people are saying, I'm glad Cousin Jose made it last week, because it's not going to be good now.
Right, exactly. Well, the other thing that's happening is the border wall contractors are bracing for a hostile side. What comes to mind here in the Old Testament thousands of years ago in the book of Nehemiah.
Nehemiah, I thought of the same thing.
Exactly.
Absolutely. They're going to have a sword in one hand and a trowel in the other. They're going to have to be able to defend themselves with an AR-15 strapped to their back while they work.
Well, interesting that both you and I would think about that parallel at the start of Holy Week here in this country. As we prepare for Easter coming up this Sunday. Larry Pratt, political analyst, executive director of Gun Owners of America. Larry, how can people be on the team with the GOA?
Go to gunowners.org and sign up for the free legislative alerts that we put out. It really makes a difference. It makes it so easy to take part.
Well, get involved in the conversation, ladies and gentlemen. So let us know your thoughts at hashtag BML Talk. Larry Pratt, thank you so much for being with us. Appreciate it, buddy.
Bill, thank you. Bye-bye.
18 before the top of the hour right now. We've got more coming up. Stay right where you are.
Hello, I'm Dr. Chira Curry, a board-certified ear, nose, and throat physician. Every day, I see many patients whose lives would be enriched by hearing aids, but who simply cannot afford the thousands of dollars needed to pay for them. I made it my mission to find a way to manufacture medical-grade, affordable hearing aids. Working with other doctors and audiologists, I developed the MD Hearing Aid Air, which costs up to 90% less than traditional hearing aids.
See how the MD Hearing Aid Air can help you once again enjoy conversations, even in noisy places. Call 1-800-416-1526 to speak with one of their trained specialists. Reconnect with your life with MD Hearing Aid's affordable quality hearing solutions at a fraction of the cost of custom hearing aids. Right now, take advantage of their exclusive 45-day risk-free trial and get free shipping and a year's worth of free batteries, a $50 value. Call MD Hearing Aid at 1-800-416-1526. Satisfaction guaranteed. That's 1-800-416-1526.
I've spent my entire career as a journalist uncovering the truth. Until the day my wife presented me with the biggest story of my life.
What I felt was something more real than anything I've ever felt in my life.
From the studio that brought you God's Not Dead.
If somebody were to do an investigation into Christianity, where would you start?
A reporter on a quest to disprove his wife's newfound faith.
How can we even talk about historical evidence for the resurrection?
The Gospels are filled with contradiction.
Comes face to face with an unexpected outcome.
We all bet our lives on something.
The question is, what's it going
to
be?
As much as I would like to help out a fellow skeptic, what you're proposing is impossible.
Based on the best-selling book by Lee Strobel.
Do you really want to know the truth, or is your mind already made up?
The Case for Christ. Now playing. Rated PG. Parental guidance suggested. Find a theater at thecaseforchristmovie.com.
Sick and tired of being sick and tired? Family Health and Education Resources wants to help you achieve and maintain good health naturally. Overcome lifestyle diseases with nutrition and natural remedies. Addiction recovery designed to build habits that heal rather than hurt. Communication and relationship building to strengthen family units. Character building and devotional resources for the whole family. We are on a mission to save America one family at a time. Visit NewEnglandFHER.com today. NewEnglandFHER.com.
What would your life be like if you woke up each morning with new vitality, feeling better than you have in years, and you noticed a difference in your sleeping patterns, blood sugar levels, and had a sense of well-being overall? There's something that is changing thousands of people's lives, and you could be one of them. It's called Heart and Body Extract. Sharon Harris, co-creator of Heart and Body Extract, talks about the positive effects of Heart and Body Extract.
What happens with the formula Heart and Body Extract is it's giving the body the necessary vitamins, minerals, amino acids, enzymes, and phytonutrients so the body will heal itself. And yes, the body does have the ability to balance blood pressure, balance cholesterol, clean and unclog the arteries. It can also work on balancing the circulation for diabetics. So the body is an amazing thing. It simply needs some help so it has the tools to heal itself.
Heart and Body Extract gets results. To order your two-month supply, call now, toll-free at 866-295-5305. Order online at hbextract.com.
This is Dan Pilla. Do you owe the IRS money you can't pay? Are tax debts crippling you? I've defended people from the IRS for over 30 years. I've helped thousands, and I can help you too. I wrote the book on IRS settlement, and I'm telling you, there's no such thing as a hopeless case. Call 800-34-NO-TAX to finally get free of IRS debt. With the IRS's new programs, there's never been a better time to solve your problem. Call 800-34-NO-TAX. That's 800-34-NO-TAX or my website, danpilla.com.
You didn't think they'd get away with it, did you?
Oh, you needn't worry. I trust your taste simply. Thank you.
Bill Martinez, live.
And just the way you like me, fresh every day, coming at you for 3 hours, 9 to noon, as we bring on the experts. And we got a real special expert with us to talk about what happened at the box office. The Smurfs are feeling a little blue, as they would say, after this weekend. Third installment in Sony's animated series Smurfs, The Lost Village, made its box office debut in third place with $14 million, far behind family-friendly holdovers, The Boss Baby and Beauty and the Beast. This, according to studio estimates that were delivered to us on Sunday, and it is time to talk to focus on the family's director of media and culture and director of their plugged-in department, Bob Waliszewski. Yes, the one and only. Robert, how are we doing, buddy?
Hey, Bill. It is Monday. It is
yes.
The head of the weekday. Head of the
yeah,
week.
Good day on the Holy Week, which officially got started yesterday with Palm Sunday, and as you and I were talking about, sadly, Coptic Christians attacked in Egypt with those two blasts that left dozens dead and many more dozens injured.
And ISIS warning that they're going to do it again soon, and which means I would think they're gearing up for Easter. What better way to get the kind of press that they enjoy, which is so sick, just killing innocents.
Well, this is why we've been pushing the prayer, praying Psalm 91, and I would say put that on your list. We do that on our website. We encourage everybody to pray Psalm 91, and I think more than ever in this Holy Week, that's a good prayer to pray because of what ISIS has done already. As this the start of the Holy Week, but and Bob, you know as well as I do, when you get this antithetical attack like this, it is. You know, I always look at it to say, okay, what do the demons know that we don't know?
Yeah.
That they're acting up like this. I believe that they're acting up because there is something happening in the spiritual realm that they're very concerned about, and it's being manifest right now with this attack in Egypt. And we could probably look for more coming on this special Holy Week that we are starting to, starting to experience here.
And God help our president and his top military commanders to make decisions as they consider what to do about ISIS. I know we talk American first, and our president was elected a lot on that. But hey, as we saw in Syria last week, it might be America first, but we we do have concern in foreign policy, which is good. So what is there going to be some type of reaction? We'll see. But God bless our president. Anyway,
exactly.
Back
all
to
right.
the box okay. office. I'd actually like number one at the box office, The Boss Baby. We gave it a pretty good review, as families might remember if they heard us talk last week. Mm-hmm. Beauty and the Beast, we didn't give it as such a good review, but it was only because the director bragged about his gay moment, and it was there. And I said it was like 15 seconds away from getting a great review from Plugged In, but unfortunately this activist director wanted to do his thing, so we weren't quite as pleased there. Smurfs, The Lost Village, as you already mentioned, a brand-new film. They were feeling a little blue coming in at number three with $14 million, but they ought to be happy for number three. My opinion with the Smurfs is the stories just aren't all that good, you know, but it for family friendliness, my goodness, we gave it a good rating, a 4.5, you know, gave it a really good rating. So it definitely gave family something else to go see, even if the story wasn't all that incredible.
Right.
So.
Well, that brand is I was surprised anyway, and you go, well, has it run its course? But maybe at a different time when it's not coming against the likes of Beauty and the Beast and Boss Baby, maybe
well,
the Smurfs would have done better.
Exactly,
right?
The same audience. And yes. If you total the two up at the one and two, you've got $51 million spent at the box office. If they had picked a different weekend where there was nothing right. else, and maybe some hard R's up at the top or whatever,
right.
All of a sudden the Smurfs could have jumped right up to the top and maybe picked up a lot of that $51 million that was up in one and two. So, anyway, let's jump down to number four and explain to, in case our listeners have been tempted to go see. May have seen the trailer on TV over the weekend, didn't get around to seeing a movie, but thought, yeah, going in style, that looks a lot of fun. You know, Michael Caine is in it, Morgan Freeman's in it, Alan Arkin's in it. Three of my favorite actors. I mean, not my very, very favorite, but they're up there. These guys are very talented. And you could tell with the chemistry of these three guys that they were having fun making the movie. And the movie was such a mixed bag for me. There was a little bit about it. It's actually a remake of a George Burns film that came out in 1979, but there's three older guys work for a steel mill all their lives. They find out their company has canceled their pensions. So they decide to rob the bank that handles the company's finances because they're going to just get their money back, you know? Now it's kind of hard to imagine how the morality of a movie could end well that goes with that premise, but it could. At the very end, you know, the writer could have told us these guys thought differently and realized they were doing something stupid and changed their mind, but that's not the way it goes. But that said, the three guys' friendship is admirable. One donates a kidney to his buddy. How admirable is that? But the dialogue can be sensual. The visuals can be sensual. There's quite a bit of harsh language. And two of the old guys are smoking pot in one scene. I see more and more marijuana smoking made glamorized and looking cool in movies. And this definitely made it look cool. And I was really disappointed. We gave this one a mirror, too. So even though it had some good moments and really did have some good moments and some stuff I really like, it just was a mixture of yuck and good. So,
well, that's the thing with some of these. It's almost like you just want to carve out, you know, the good stuff and just, you know, say, well, you saw it in the trailer. It's like some of the old Mel Brooks stuff. You know, it's like everything.
Yeah.
All you need
to
do is just watch the trailer. Forget about the movie. The trailer was hysterical.
Yeah.
And that was good enough because somehow the trailer, when they put it on TV, they got to take all the offensive stuff out of there, right? And some of the real serious stuff.
Yeah, rarely do they try. Unless it's an R-rated raunchy comedy, then they'll try to push it so that people who are tend to that kind of movie can see, oh, this one's going to be really raunchy. You'll want to see it. But for the most of it, it has a family-friendly vibe going to it. You're not going to see the pot smoking in the trailer, you know?
No, right,
you know?
Of course.
So,
yeah, exactly.
Hey, the movie I was most excited about last week and for on the verge of Palm Sunday and going into Holy Week this week is The Case for Christ.
Case for Christ, right.
I know you guys have mentioned it before, and I'm not the first one, but
we interviewed Lee Strobel. We talked with Lee and the director for Case for Christ as well. So, it's been there at the forefront, especially in light of this Easter week. And it opened up at the box office last Friday. And
it did pretty well.
Yeah.
I would add that number 10 at the box office is not bad for a film that you could just about say was on a third of the theaters that
exactly.
most of the ones ahead of it were on,
mm-hmm.
Or at least the ones at the very top. Mm-hmm. And top film was on 3,800. The second film was 3,900. Third film was 3,600. His fourth film, going we just talked about, was on 3,000. And then here comes The Case for Christ on 1,174 theaters. That's a big difference. So a third less, and yet it came in the top 10. So I think it's they're saying 3.9 million, almost 4 million. It's probably not a bad weekend for The Case for Christ. Anyway,
well, their average theater was stronger than Power Rangers.
that's right. Nice to see. That's for sure. When you're up at $3,300, I mean that meant that there was a bunch of pretty full esque theaters showing the movie. So,
right.
And for family friendliness, you might not want to take your littlest of kids, but somewhere around the age of 9 or 10 on up, it's so appropriate and so good. Here's Lee Strobel that you interviewed. His story. He was a staunch atheist working for the Chicago Tribune back in the late 70s, early 80s. He was an award-winning journalist, in fact. And then one day his wife tells him that she became a Christian. His first thought in his mind was divorce. I think we're going to have to get a divorce. This is not what I signed up for, and you're not the woman that I
Yeah, how weak,
right
how
now,
weak, how weak-minded are you, you know?
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
So he uses his investigative tools of the trade to convince her. He's going to find out where the holes in Christianity are so he can get his wife back. That's really what he's – and that's honest. That's
mm-hmm.
really what he was trying to do,
right.
Only the truth took him in a very different direction. The more he interviewed these experts, the more he realized, wow, there's something to this.
Exactly.
We gave it 4.5 out of 5. I loved it. Entertainment, I would have given it a perfect score, a 5 out of 5. We don't rate entertainment value. We just rate family friendliness. But it's just such a good film. And
I've been happy
to tell people to.
I think it's a good model here for people who are investigating. Is he went out as an investigative reporter. His skill set, well-developed. He doesn't go out and just get a bunch of anecdotal stuff. He goes out and talks to experts, like you say. I don't think there was one person that he spoke with that didn't have a PhD.
I don't know exactly. It may have been
I think it was something
show
like
in
that.
The movie.
Right.
But he definitely found the best of the best, even when it meant he had to travel on his own dime
mm-hmm.
and to get on an airplane to go interview people, because he wanted to really get the, down to the truth. And what was the truth? When someone told me, he says, what's the main thing of Christianity I should be looking for as I go research? And somebody says, the resurrection. All Christianity hinges on the resurrection. If you can disprove the resurrection, you hit a home run.
That's right.
He's like, well, that's where I'm going to spend most of my time. And of course, that's where he came back and thought, wow, this is pretty compelling.
Well, that was the intersection that Josh McDowell found himself as well, right?
Exactly. And C.S. Lewis, way back when, had the same atheist and did the research and ended up becoming a Christian. Hey,
we got to leave it right there. We got to leave it right there, Bob.
Okay.
Bob Waliszewski. I'm Bill Martinez. Have a great week.
Hi there, Dick Allgaier here. I was a mainstream television news reporter for over 3 decades. I normally never do commercial endorsements. I am very skeptical of health supplements, but a friend of mine told me about his experience with Synergy One, so I purchased a bottle, and my wife and I have been using it for a few weeks now. I very much dislike so-called energy boosters, those little energy drinks that have caffeine and guarana and other things that make your heart race. This is not that. My experience with Synergy One has been great. My mood is better. My joints feel better. I have more vigor, more stamina, way increased productivity. My wife and I both noticed that we even dream more. So I recommend Synergy One. It's really good stuff. I'm having great results with it.
Call 888-988-3325 or visit oneworldway.com. That's oneworld, W-H-E-Y.com.
It's called